Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. We left off on daf Kuf Lamed Amid Beis. The Gemara was making certain comments about how to derive when something is halacha lemaisa and when something is only stated as halacha in the course of halachic discourse, but is not necessarily meant to be taken as halacha lemaisa. So just one very major Rashbam that we didn't get to yesterday toward the bottom of the page that I thought was interesting, and that was the Rashbam Dibra Maskel Ad Sheyomru Lo Halacha Lemaisa, right? That the Gemara had said one should not learn halacha lo mipi limud lo mipi maisa ad sheyomru lo halacha lemaisa. So the Rashbam points out in the fourth wide line, ubemakom acher amrinan ein lemeidin halacha mitoch mishneh. We did mention this part yesterday, that it also says elsewhere that you shouldn't derive a halacha from a mishnah whenever a mishnah says halacha kedvarav. For example, like the Mishnah Maseches Nida that says Reb Lazar holds dayan shaitan, meaning there's a machlokas in Maseches Nida if a woman finds dam, she's obviously tameh, but starting from when? Do we assume starting from right now when she finds the dam? Or do we assume, wait a second, if she just found the dam now, it couldn't have just come right now, it's probably been here for a little bit. But how little bit? Do you go back till the last time she checked? Meaning, the last time she checked was 3 days ago, so you have to assume she's been tameh for the last 3 days, and therefore everything that she's touched over the last 3 days is tameh, and any truma that she's touched over the last 3 days she's ruined. Or do you assume, a second shita, that you only go back 24 hours, that you have the right to assume whatever she is now, she's been for the last 24 hours, but before that you can't make any assumptions. Or Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, that dayan shaitan, that you only have to assume henceforth that she's tameh, but any going back further than that is absolutely unnecessary. We're not going to go through all the nidos. By all those mishnayos relating to nidos and zavos, b'shloshtan tnan b'mishnah halacha kedvarav. It says in the mishnah halacha kedvarav. Vafilu hachi kava Shmuel halacha kamosu b'gemara. Meaning, Rashbam is not asking, and we don't paskin that way. Rashbam is saying, even though the Mishnah says halacha kedvarav, we feel the need to paskin that way. Why would Shmuel feel the need to be koveya the halacha like Rabbi Eliezer if the Mishnah already says halacha kedvarav? Vashmi'inan de'ein morin halacha mitoch Mishnah. So obviously you see a chiddush that we don't derive halacha based on what the Mishnah tells us the halacha is. Ilav dekava halacha kamoso. Had it not been for the Amoraim coming and telling us that yes, in fact, in this situation we do paskin that way. Ubivamas tanan ezu mamzer. In the Maseches Yevamos, the Mishnah discusses how do we define a relationship that creates mamzerus. Shimon atimni omer kol shechayavin alav kares vehalacha kedvarav. Shimon HaTimni says any relationship where there's kares, a baal anida, will create mamzerus, because it's a chiv kares, and halacha kedvarav. The ilav de pasuk b'gemara halacha kamoso, lo samchinon apsak de masnisin. If the Gemara doesn't go out of its way to tell you that this is how we paskin, we do not rely on a simple psak of a mishnah. Ava ba'alachal sapsukos b'divrei amorayin vadei samchinon. But when the Gemara comes along and tells us how to paskin, that we for sure rely on. The given shapaskum v'kasvum ravashi v'ravina shem sof hara'a vaday alayu samchinan. That expression, sof hara'a, Rashbam tells us, means something. When Ravina and Ravashi paskin something, there's no more machlokas about it. That for sure is something that we paskin like. So when it's included in the Gemara, in the text of the Gemara, as the halacha, so then there's no further debate. There's nothing more to disagree and to paskin against. When the Mishnah says halacha k'dvarav, the Mishnah is not sof hara'a, and therefore hara'a can still go on. So even if the Mishnah says halacha k'dvarav on one shita, we're not necessarily bound to that shita. Matzina lemeidon hecha depalu yachidei tzal rabbi kihani lo samchina psak halacha shal mishnah elim kein posik b'gemara. So certainly if there's a das yachid in the Mishnah and the Mishnah says that halacha follows that das yachid, we're not necessarily bound to follow that das yachid just because the Mishnah says so. We rely on the piskei halacha of the Gemara. Aval psak de gemara samchina de kulu av halacha lemaisa el shab yochlin vado hayamach mil ha'atzma varmul talmidav kidil kaman shlo yasu davar at shiyom lam halacha lemaisa. The psak of the Gemara is certainly binding. Rabbi Yochanan just says that there are a lot of times that I'm machmir myself, and he told his Talmidim they shouldn't do anything until he expresses to them explicitly that he means that it's halacha l'maisa. And after all, he's only human, and he might change his mind. Rabbanim and Poskim reserve the right to change their mind. But nevertheless, he says, after he dies, he wants them to follow his Piskei Halacha, because after he dies, now, had he lived for another 10 years, would he have changed his mind? Who knows? Who knows when someone would have changed his mind? Right? People can guess. If this one would have been alive today, he would paskin differently, he would paskin this way. We don't know. All we know is he died when he died, and throughout his entire lifetime, he didn't change his mind. And if he didn't change his mind throughout his entire lifetime, so then that's it. That's his psak. V'kol shekein, sheyesh lanu lismoch al halachas haksuvus b'gemara, k'mo shesidur in Ravashi. So kal v'chomer, we should rely on the halachas that are mentioned in the Gemara, the way Ravashi organized them. Da'kaim lam b'metzir, Ravashi v'ravina sof hara. U'lemin nishal ol b'shas maise, im lo mismoch al halachas haksuvus b'gemara. Who is there to ask if you're not going to rely on the Gemara, k'mo shesidur in Ravashi? Diktani ad sheyom lo halach l'maise, ha'ein adem rashay l'chadish av me'ata, alavadei k'mo sheposko achronim kach na'ase. So the bottom line is that the piskei halacha of the Gemara are absolutely binding. The Piskei Halacha of the Mishnah, not so much. The statements of the Mishnah, we need to know what the Tanaim held, and everything we say has to fit into one Tana or another. The Amorayim, when they argue, only argue within Tanaim. They discovered that their time is better used figuring out the Tanaim than it is trying to argue on the Tanaim. So, but in terms of how... in terms of when the Mishnah says that something is halacha l'maisa, yeah, thank you. In terms of when the Mishnah says something is halacha l'maisa, so that's not necessarily, we're not necessarily going to pasuk in that way, that it is halacha l'maisa. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. We left off about 5 lines before the end of the page. About 7 lines before the end of the page. Amrlei Ravasi the Rabbi Yochanan ki Amrlan Mar halacha hachi navin maisa. Says, listen, when you say halacha hachi, whenever you say the halacha is this way, so should we rely on that lemaisa? Should we do halacha lemaisa like that? Amar, he said, lo ta'avidu ada amina halacha lemaisa. He said, no, don't do anything until I tell you beferish that it's halacha lemaisa. Sometimes we say the halacha holds this, the halacha says this, but we're really only talking and learning, and we don't necessarily mean that it's halacha lemaisa like that. Says Rashbam, 3 lines from the bottom, ada amina luchu halacha lemaisa, sha'omer lechem halacha b'sha shetishulu li al yedei ma'ase. He says, no, it's not just magic words, that whenever I say the words halacha lemaisa, that's when you know that you can rely on what I'm saying. He says, no, don't rely on any halacha you hear from me unless you've asked it to me lemaisa. You didn't just say, theoretically, what would the halacha be if such and such? Because whenever you're speaking theoretically, I feel I have much more leeway, and it's not as important if I get it exactly correct, because we're just talking and learning. But when you ask me halacha lemaisa, what am I supposed to do? What do I do in this situation? So then you can rely on my Piskei Halacha, and only then can you rely on my Piskei Halacha. So some have a very, very mystical view of how this works, that there's a Siyata Deshmaya, when a person is asked Halacha L'maisa, there's some poskim that only respond to questions that are Halacha L'maisa. They won't respond to questions that are not Halacha L'maisa, because they hold that they get a certain Siyata Deshmaya when dealing with Halacha L'maisa issues that they don't get when not dealing with Halacha L'maisa issues. Rosh Bam has a much more down-to-earth practical view of why it is that when you ask halacha lemaisa, I'm going to give you a more accurate psak. He says the b'shas maisa adam yare lidon u'mechavin libo yoser. One is more intimidated when it's b'shas maisa, because you know that what you're about to say is going to be relied upon lemaisa. When you're just speaking and learning, you don't know that what you're saying is going to be relied upon lemaisa, so you feel a little freer to just to shoot from the hip. But when you're paskening halacha lemaisa, you don't feel free at all. You feel like you better get it right. And because of that, a person focuses more, has higher level of concentration, and is going to make sure to get it right. And that's the idea. That's why halacha lemaisa is more meaningful. Not because of any magic. Halacha lemaisa is more meaningful when you ask a shayla lemaisa, because the posik knows that you're asking it lemaisa. Nafkamina would be if you don't tell him that it's Lamaisa. Right? If you hold the more mystical view that it's that, I don't know if mystical is the best word, but you hold the firmer view that it's that you get Siyata Deshmaya when you're paskling Halacha Lamaisa. So maybe even if you don't know that you're paskling Halacha Lamaisa, but you're just being asked a question, and so and the person really needs to rely on it, Lamaisa, you know, what if I have a friend who, you know, have questions start like that sometimes, and you know, you're not sure if it's being relied on Lamaisa, so maybe you're getting the Siyata Dishmaya, but if it's about your focus and your concentration based on the knowledge that you're doing something Halacha Lamaisa, so then that's only going to be true when that's only going to be true when you're aware that it is being relied upon halacha lemaisa. So that would be the difference. Now we mentioned this concept of maisa rav. The Yad Malachi writes that this whole klal of maisa rav is even in a maisa of tanaim. But meaning we said halacha paskind in a you know in a mishnah is not something we necessarily rely on. That when the mishnah says that something is the halacha. Is empty now. When the Mishnah says something is the halacha, there's exactly one left. When the Mishnah says that something is the halacha, it's not necessarily something that we're going to paskin like. But when the Gemara says something is the halacha, we do paskin like it. But it says the Yad Malachi, but when it's a Maisa, when the Gemara tells us, Maisa b'lavos Rabbi Tzadik, or the Mishnah tells us of a Maisa that happened with a certain Tana. The Tana relied on halacha l'maisa, so that is binding. That is a telltale sign that we should paskin that way. That's how the Yad Malachi writes. However, he says, nevertheless, a Maisa Rav only helps when it's a Yachid against the Yachid, when it's an individual Shita against another individual Shita. But when you have a Yachid against a Rabbim, and there's a Maisa Rav about the Yachid, Halacha Karabim. The din of Halacha Karabim is a din min haTorah. A yachid, therefore, Maisa Rav is not a din min haTorah. Maisa Rav is just an inclination that we have that if someone was willing to rely on something in the Maisa, that it must be legitimate, that he must have really held that way. And therefore, Maisa Rav is not going to overpower the Halacha Karabim. Okay, weiter in the Gemara, 5 lines from the bottom. Amalu Rav l'Rapapa, l'Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, ki asi piska didina didi l'kamaychu. Rav starts telling his Talmidim, Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, he says, when a psak halacha of mine comes in front of you, v'chazisu be'pircha, and you see that there's a kasha on it, that you're bothered by something I paskind, lo tikru'uhu, do not tear it up, ada asisu l'kamayi, until you come to me first. If I have some sort of logical explanation as to why I paskin the way I did, I'll tell you. And if I don't have any logical explanation of why I paskin the way I did, so then I'll be chozer. Meaning, sometimes you have a kasha, and sometimes I'll change my mind. Sometimes you'll be right, and I'll change my mind. But sometimes maybe I'll have thinking that they would not have thought of. Now the Ran writes that everything Rav is saying that he would be chozer, that's only when he would be tov b'dvar mishnah. It's only if he would discover that he's against something that's beferish. Tov b'dvar mishnah nowadays does not necessarily mean, when we discuss this more when we get to Sanhedrin, but does not necessarily mean the same thing tov b'dvar mishnah meant in the times of the Gemara. The Gemara would use the expression tov b'dvar mishnah because someone didn't know a mishnah, and a mishnah was very important to know in paskni halacha. So if you went against the beferish mishnah, so that's called tov b'dvar mishnah, and you would say that whatever din was paskin would be you would be chozer on. Nowadays, when we say Torah B'Dvar Mishnah, it means something that's in the very basic body of knowledge that any posik paskening on a given issue should know. If something is against the Shulchan Aruch, if it's against the Shulchan Aruch, and the posik was unaware that it was against the Shulchan Aruch, that's a Torah B'Dvar Mishnah as well. Something that's against just a very basic body of information. But anyway, the Ran says that this is only this idea that if there's no logical explanation for what I said, there's no justification for what I said, I would change my mind. That's only if the discovery would be that he was told b'dvar mishnah, that he forgot a sif of halacha. Then the din would be that a mistake like that, he would have to be chozer. But when the toast was in shikla das, was only in analysis, and over there we say, kam dina, you don't retract on the din. The psak halacha, even though it was a mistake, remains. so then Rava would not be able to be chozer in something like that. And again, that's assuming that there was a din Torah where there was money that changed hands, there was someone against another person, so you're not going to be chozer on that. If it's just a psak halacha, you know, what am I allowed to use whatever on Shabbos, whatever it might be, so then certainly you can change your mind and say, henceforth, you can't use it on Shabbos, even if it was a Taos B'Shikla Das. But the Ran is saying, you can't be chozer when the Taos was only B'Shikla Das, when the deal was, when the issue was about a din Torah. So that's what he says, that's what he instructs his Talmidim. But then he says, you know, I'm not going to be around forever. So long as I'm alive, that's a good measure. The as long as I'm alive, you could ask me what I think. And if I agree, then I'll change my mind. If I don't agree, then maybe I'll explain to you why I don't agree, and my psak will be binding. La'achar misa, but after I die, he says, lo mikra tikra uhu, when you come across a psak halacha of mine that doesn't make sense to you, don't tear it up. But also don't learn from it. Let me explain each one. Don't tear it up. Don't tear it up because you never know. There might be value to it. Maybe you'll understand it later. Maybe if I was around, I would have been able to explain it to you, to explain why I said what I said and why it's not nonsensical, why it actually makes sense. The Rimi Gash writes that this instruction that Rava gave to his Talmidim not to tear it up is not mitzad adin. That's mitzad kavod harav. That mitzad adin, when someone paskin something and they're no longer around and there are lots of kashas on it and it doesn't make any sense, so then tikra tikru, you can tear it up, you can forget all about it, pretend it never existed. But when it comes to Rebbe, so kavod harav is what Rava was saying, as a din of kavod harav, not a din in hara'ah, you shouldn't tear it up. So, but migmar nami lo tigmru minei, also don't learn anything from it, de'in l'dayin ala mashe in avroos, because you have to paskin based on the, you have to call it the way you see it. You have to paskin based on the, what you think is correct. If you look at the Rashbam on the top, val tigmru l'odun minei, that you shouldn't be done based on a psak halacha that you don't understand. Rather, you should follow whatever your das tells you. Because the dayan only has what's in front of him to paskin based on. Like the brisa says in Maseches Nida, Rebbe ra'a dam belayla v'timei. Rebbe looked at samples of blood at night, and he was metame, right? A woman bled, whatever, and brought Rebbe the mara, and Rebbe saw that it was blood, and he was metame. Ra'a biyom v'tiara, and then he saw it during the daytime, in daylight. And this is why a lot of poskim only look in daylight. It looks different sometimes in daylight. He looked in daylight, and he was metaher. Himtin sha'a achas, and then he waited another hour later in the day. V'ra'o v'chazer v'timei. And the color changed again, and it looked tame. Some poskim are makbid, they don't keep things around. If they some want to keep things around to teach, to be able to teach younger rabbanim or whatever, but some won't keep anything around because you don't want to have that experience where you saw something that looked tahar and you paskin tahar, and then you look back later, it doesn't really look so tahar anymore, and then that's a harrowing experience. So but anyway, Rebbe had this experience that he was metame, then he was metare, then he was metame. Amar oyli shemati isi. He says, oh my gosh, maybe I made a mistake. Umakshina, and the Gemara says, maybe? Vaday ta'a, of course you made a mistake. Meaning you can't say tamei ta'a tamei and then say that maybe you made a mistake. D'tanya lo yomar chacham ilu haya lach haya tamei ela ein l'dayin al mashayin avroz. So the Gemara says, no, it's not vaday ta'a, because each time he paskin based on what he saw. He paskin based on what was in front of him. So if he paskin based on what was in front of him, so then it's not a mistake. When you paskin based on what you're looking at. And that's what the halacha is, that when a person is paskening on a mara, you don't say, well, okay, I'm getting this mara 10 hours after it first came out, so let me try to go back in time and figure out what did it look like when it first came out, and would that color be top? No, Ein L'dayin al Mashen Avros means you see it a certain way, that's what you're looking at, that's what you see, that's what you're paskening on. There's a discussion in the poskim. Are you supposed to look at maros when they're brand new, when they just came out, when they're still wet? Because it's sometimes you need it to settle a little to really be able to discern whether it's in fact dam or it's not dam. The raya, the Torah Shlamim, in the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Nida brings an interesting raya. We mentioned it in the past, is that David HaMelech says, according to the Gemara in Brachos, when David HaMelech is saying that how he's different than other kings, David HaMelech says, Yadai meluchlachos bedam shvir bedam shilya, that my hands are stained with blood in kedei letaher isha lebaila, in my attempt to be metaher a woman to her husband. So you see two things from that statement of David HaMelech. First of all, you see that there was a bias in the way he passed into Hilchos Nida, and we see that there's supposed to be a bias in the way he passed into Hilchos Nida, that it's not kedei leida im hi tahora im hi tameya, it's kedei letaher isha lebaila, that one is supposed to make a concerted effort to come up with whatever kula you can to try to be metaher. But the second thing you see is that yadai meluchlachos bedam, that his hands were dirtied with blood. Well, your hands aren't dirtied with blood, they dried already, so it must be that it's okay, it's at least okay to look at maros that are still moist. But anyway, the point is, however you happen to see it, that's what it is. Ein l'dayin al mashen of rose. So that's true in terms of a metzias. You're looking at something and it does change color when it's moist, when it dries, when it's time. It definitely changes color. That's a metzias that changes. So that we certainly say ein l'dayin al mashen of rose. You can only paskin on the metzias that's right in front of you. But for hu adin l'davra tali b'svara. But that's not only true of a metzias, the chiddush of our Gemara, that ein l'dayin al mashen of rose is even in your way of thinking. That if my way of thinking is a certain way now and it's a different way later, so or my way of thinking is a certain way and my Rebbe had a different way of thinking and I don't understand that way of thinking, I can only paskin based on my whole way of thinking. I can't say, well, you know, my Rebbe held this way, I don't understand a word of what he said when he said this, but I don't think it's correct based on my own understanding of the sugya. It doesn't seem to be correct at all, but he said it and he's a gavur rabba, so it must be that we can rely on it. No, ein lo dayan al mashen of rose, you have to paskin the way you see it. El mashal libo roehu uparakam et sanhedrin nafkalon mivimchem b'davar mishpat imchem b'davar imachem b'mishpat ein lo dayan al mashen of rose. Right, that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, learns it from the pasuk. But that's how Psak Halacha has to work. That you have to paskin based on what you know, not based on what you don't know. Right? That's the Rav Moshe has a tshuva where someone asked him how he feels that it's okay for him to be chalik on Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Chassam Sofer and the Gedolei HaAchronim that came before him. And he said, it's not because I think I'm greater than them. I really don't. I think I'm Afra Ani Tachas Raglehem, but I think that I have to call it the way I see it. And every posek who's a viable posek, who, as Rav Shachter always says, is entitled to an opinion, has to call it the way he sees it, and that's it. That's in the dayan elamasha in avros, not only in metzius but in the halacha as well. Okay, now we've been discussing, the Mishnah had mentioned, and we've been discussing for several blad already, the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan Baroka. What was the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan Baroka? That if a man has several yarshim who are all on the same level, he has several daughters, let's say, he's allowed to determine that one of his daughters over the rest are going to receive Yerusha from him. Right, he can make such a determination. So, frankly, Gemara now further analyzing the Pesach of Rabbi Yochanan Baroka, by Rava bebari heich. What if the man's not a shchiv mira? He's just a healthy guy, and he's determining who's going to get what. Ki kam Rabbi Yochanan Baroka b'shchiv mira debar orutehu. Does Rabbi Yochanan Baroka only say his din by a shchiv mira who's holding by being morish, who's holding by giving over a Yerusha by bequeathing? Avol bebari lo, but by a perfectly healthy person he would not say it. Odilma fil bebari nami, or maybe Rabbi Yochanan Baroka held his din that you have the right to manipulate Yerusha even by a bari. The Rashba quotes in the name of the Ravid that Rava was mistapik dafka in when you write a shtar b'lashon Yerusha to someone who's right Eliyarsho. That's what he's saying. Let's say a bari writes such a shtar. The Rimigash says that it's efshar even if you didn't write a shtar, the suffix could even be if you just did a maisa kinyan. Right, but certainly b'dibur b'alma, that certainly would not be enough. Everyone would agree that if a bari just says, yeah, I want this guy to receive this and this one to receive that, that certainly would not be enough. Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, that the suffix is when you said it bal peh. Aye, everywhere else we say a bari cannot be makna with dibur alone, but b'lashon Yerusha, says Rabbeinu Yonah, maybe that's what Rav Zusafek is, that maybe Belashon Yerusha, you can be Makne B'dibur alone. That's the Gzeres HaKasav, Vahaya B'yoman Chilu Asbanav, from which Rabbi Yochanan Ben Baroka derives his halacha, that you have the right to be Manchil, even B'dibur. And he says, L'gabi Belashon Yerusha, the Kavana obviously is that it's only going to be Chali Achar Misa anyway. So there's no, it's not Shaykh Kinyan, a star, a Kinyan, what do you mean a star? It's Yerusha. It's only going to be chal after you die. So even Balpeh should absolutely suffice. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah argues. The Rashba asks on the Rabbeinu Yonah, he says, wait a second. Even when a Shchiv Mira talks, and we say, Divrei Shchiv Mira kiksuvenikum surin dami, that a Shchiv Mira doesn't need to do kinyanim, when he just speaks, it's as if everything is written in a shtar. That's only, the Gemara says, Kedesh lo titrof taito. That's only because of a pikuach nefesh issue. If a Shchiv Mira would talk and we would say, yeah, whatever you say, and he would know that we're not listening to him, and that whatever he says is not going to be binding, it would upset him. And a person in that stage, the slightest bit of annoyance could cause him to die more quickly. So we don't want to upset him at that point. That's why divrei Shchiv Mira kiksuv nikum surin dami. That's why Shchiv Mira doesn't need a kinyan and a shtar and all the rest. So says Rashba, you Rabbeinu Yonah are going to tell me that when it comes to a bari, that when there's no issue of Shema Titrof Taito, that if it's going to be unhealthy for him, that he doesn't need a shtar, that Baal Peh is going to suffice? No, it can't be. Can't be that Baal Peh would. So the only reason Baal Peh does this, the only reason Baal Peh suffices by Shchiv Mira Shema Titrof Taito. And furthermore, he says, the din is by Matna Shchiv Mira B'miktsas, you do require a kinyan. If he's giving over only a little bit, you do require a kinyan. So if that's the case, and from Yochum and Broka were saying that his hanchala would even work bal peh, so then a matna shchiv mira to someone who's ro'i liyarsho b'miktsas should not require a kinyan, because Rabbi Yochum and Broka's did, that it's bal peh. So the Ran is miyashev the first kasha of the Rashba, and he says that the reason that you need the tam by a shchiv mira of shalotit of daito is because it's given b'lashon matana. Had it been given over b'lashon yerusha, you wouldn't need such a tam, because the Torah gives rushus to the av to be manchil. So that whenever you say anything b'lashon yerusha, so then you don't need kadesh lo titrof daito. Then automatically it's going to work. That's how the Ran is miyashev the first kasha. Okay. Anyway, so Rava asked the shaila. V'bari heich ki kam Rabbi Yochum Ebrokah b'shchem rad debarutehu al bari la odim afil bari nami. Would Rabbi Yochum Ebrokah's din apply even to a perfectly healthy person? Amalev Rav Sharshia l'Rava. So Misharshia responds to Rava, Tashema, let's bring a raya. Da Amar lo Rabbi Nassan l'Rebbe. Conversation took place between Rabbi Nassan and Rebbe. Rabbi Nassan tells Rebbe, Shanisa Mishnaskam k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. He says, Rebbe, when you arranged the Mishnah and you organized a Stam Mishnah, you should know that you reflected the Das Yachid of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka against the Rabbanan in your Stam Mishnah. How so? Ditnan, we have the following Mishnah. Mishnah Ksubas. Lo kasvla bin dikhrin di haven lichi mi nai inun yatun kasv ksubasayach yosal chalukei de machon. If a person did not write into the ksuba the tnai of bin dikhrin, what's the tnai of bin dikhrin? So there's a concern that when a man is marrying off his daughter, he's not going to want to give his daughter a big dowry. Why? Because if he gives his daughter a big dowry, he's going to she's going to have children with this man, but this man has children from other wives as well. And ultimately, the man is going to yarshin the woman. The woman's going to die, the man's going to yarshin her. And all of this money is therefore going to be split evenly amongst all of his children. Not only the children of this daughter, but all of this man has five wives. It's going to be split evenly amongst all of his children. So if a guy, just attach names to make it less confusing, if Yaakov, the grandfather, notices that Dina's children are not going to receive all of his money that he gives over to Dina in a dowry, so then Yaakov's not going to want to give Dina too much money, because no one's going to want to marry Dina if Yaakov doesn't give too much money. So they came up with this idea of ksubas bin dikhrin, that you can make it tonight at the beginning, that Dina could say, look, my father Yaakov is giving over this money to be brought into the marriage, but he wants these nechasim to dafka be handed over to my children, not to your children from your other wives. Dina could tell her husband, you have children from your other wives, it doesn't go yarshin to them. So let's say a person does not write the ksubas bin dikhrin into the ksuba, you're still chayiv. Shetanai bezinu. It's still assumed to be there because it's a tanai bezin. Says Rashbam, shebezin tiknu ksubas ben dechun kadamrin b'ksubas kadei sheyikbo tzadam yitin lebito kibino. Bezin was misakin this so that people would want to give their daughters a reasonable dowry. Dimnosin lebito in yotzi mizaro, and he can be comfortable that you can give money to your daughter and it will stay in your family with your grandchildren, not with somebody else's grandchildren. In bito mesa kodam ba'al shiyoshu ba'neha es ksuba sa achar mosaviyam, her own children will yarshin that ksuba after their father dies. Vuhu sheyesha moser dina shalter kanach l'daraisa. Rashbam adds, ksubas b'nedirkin only works if there's also regular Yerusha that comes from the father. There has to at least be a little bit of regular Yerusha that follows the laws of Yerusha. Then the rest could be in ksubas b'nedirkin. So this sounds familiar, this idea that you're taking yarshim that deserve to yarshin the father and you're redistributing the proportion of the Yerusha, instead of just following Bechor gets Pishnayim, everyone goes, no, you say, well, the children of this mother get the money that was brought in by her father, etc. Kedamrin Hasam, Alma Morish Ha'av Leben Ben Abanim, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Baroka. That's exactly Rabbi Yochanan Ben Baroka's din. A person being Morish to one child over the others. So Rabbi Nosson Bavli attacks Rabbi and he says, you know, you said a Mishnah and it's so obvious that that Mishnah only fits Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. You should have said your Mishnah to fit everybody, to fit even the sheet of the Rabbanan. Why do you have a Stam Mishnah going like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka? Vamalo Rabbi, Rabbi says, no, change it. The Mishnah shouldn't be that Ksubas ben Dichron will be Yartun, will receive as Yerusha, but rather Yasvun Tanan. Yasvun is a Lashon Matana. That it's not about Yerusha. This preempts Yerusha. It's saying that the father is giving all this money to those children as a matana. So it's not about Yerusha. So it's not about redistributing Yerusha at all, and therefore everyone could agree. Vamer Rebbe, and Rebbe says, Yaldus Haisabi V'asti Panei B'nasan Abavli. He says, you know what? I was young at the time, and I was chutzpedik to Rebbe Nasan Abavli. Ela Dekaimulan, Benin Dichron Lo Tarfa Mimshabdi. He says, let's think about it. Let's take a step back and analyze this. Ksubas Benin Dichron cannot be collected from Nechasu Mushabadim. Now, Isal Kadaitach Yasvan Tanan, Amai Lo Tarfa Mimshabdi. If, in fact, it was a Matana, so why can't it be collected from the Chasam Shubadim? It should be able to be collected from the Chasam Shubadim. Meaning, if my response that Yasvan Tanan was really correct, that you should say, yeah, the Ksubas Benin Dichron is a Lashon Matana, that's not a Lashon Yerusha, then all the nechasim are meshuba to the ksubas iman, and therefore ksubas bin adichrin should be collectible from the nechasim meshubadim. El shmami no yartun tanan. No, so it must be that really the accurate text is yartun. Man shamet le dislei haisvara rabbi dislei haisvara. Okay, now that it's back to yartun, well, who's the one that holds this svara that you can redistribute Yerusha amongst the children, that you can say these children will receive more than the other children? So that's so says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. It's Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka who says that. So you see that Mishnah is dafka only going according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, because it does say yartun tanan, and since it's only going according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, you see that it even works by a bari, because the deal of ksubas ben dichron is made when he's a bari. It's not only made by yishchiv mira. So you see, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka even applies to healthy people. Now, the truth is, as soon as Rabbi Nasan attacks Rabbi, we already see that Rabbi Nasan is telling him, look, the Mishnah only fits Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. When Rebbe then backtracks on his initial response to Rabbi Nasan, and he says, well, you know, you see, this Mishnah really only goes like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, says Rashbam, man shamalei dislei haisvara, that expression, yisur lashon hu delo tzarech. We've already established that. That's really just the Gemara being verbose. We don't really need that line in the Gemara, because we've already established in Rabbi Nasan's Kasha that it's only going like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka if you're Gores Yarsun. Rabbi responded, Yasvan, and it's not going like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, but now that he's going back on that gear, so you don't need to reanalyze that it is going like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. That's a Yisro Lashon to Lo Tzarech. I just have to vote that the most ironic Rashbam of the whole Masechta. The Rashbam is one to talk. Yisro Lashon to Lo Tzarech, that being too verbose is perhaps an accusation that many others have leveled against the Rashbam. It's a short Rashbam, that's true. It's a very, very brief comment. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter. Amar le Rav Papa Abaye, so Rav Papa says Abaye, bein le man di amar yasvun, bein le man di amar yarsun, whatever kirsi you have, whether it's yasvun or yarsun, there's still a problem. You can't be makna now something that doesn't exist yet. And even if you can be makna davar shloba liyolam, because after all, what are we talking about? We're talking about actual nechassim that the grandfather is giving. So they do exist. What are we talking about davar shloba liyolam? No, the point is, the next line, that yeah, we can't be, even if you hold that makna davar shloba liyolam is not a problem, hanimili li davar sheyeshno ba'olam. That's when the person being kone is ba'olam. That's where a kinyan can work. But to be makna something to somebody who doesn't yet exist, lo. When did they write the ksubas bin dichrin? When they first get married. They don't have any children yet. We don't even know how many children they're going to have, if they're going to have children. We don't know if they're going to be bin dichrin. We don't know if they're going to be bin nukvin. We don't know anything. And yet, such a kinyan is going to work. How could such a kinyan work? So he says, anyway, the whole thing is it doesn't make any sense. So Ella, what do you have to say? Tanai Bezdin shiny. You have to say that it's a Tanai Bezdin, and therefore it could break all the rules. That Bezdin made such a din, that this is the way it's going to be, because of a takana that the father should want to give money to his daughter, and therefore it breaks all the rules. So Achanami Tanai Bezdin shiny. So when dealing with the rules of Nechasim Mishubadim, of why it can be collected from Nechasim Mishubadim, don't tell me that we have to be Goris Yartun and not Yasvun, because Yasvun wouldn't make sense with the Nechasim Mishubadim. No, that's also part of the Tanai Beis Din. It breaks the rules in the Chanami. Tanai Beis Din is different. Right, if you look at Rashbam, El Tanai Beis Din Shaini, the Olam Tanai Beis Din, Mishum Da Hefker Beis Din Hefker. It's all part of Hefker Beis Din Hefker. Lahat Masafil Davar Shalob Ali Olam. Tanai Beis Din works to be makna something even to a Davar Shalob Ali Olam. V'achanami, Olam Tanai Beis Din, V'yafel Gav Damrin Rabbanan, D'loshon Yerusha B'yam, Lokani, Hachakani, V'afilu Krabban, Nasi Masnisen. Even though normally the Loshon of Yerusha will not be makna to somebody, and the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yochanan Broka, would say that normally such a Loshon would not work. Over here, they're going to say it works. They're going to say that a Lashon of Yerusha would work because that's part of the Tanai Beis Din. So you don't have to say that the Stam Mishnah is going against the Rabbanan is dafka going like Rabbi Yochanan Broka. This Mishnah is obviously an exception because the Mishnah obviously relies on new rules, on rules of Tanai Beis Din. Amrlei Mishum de Kamapik la Lashon Yartun. So he said that which he didn't say this, meaning that which Rebbe didn't initially say. Rebbe could have just responded initially when Rabbi Nassim challenges him. Why are you only going like Rabbi Yochanan Baroka? Why didn't Rebbe just say, I'm not? This is a Tanai Beis Din, it's a totally different ball game. It has totally different rules. So look at Rashbam. Amrlei Mishum de Mapak la Lashon Yartun. Hadilo Kamrlei Hachi Mishum de Hava Amrlei Rabbi Nassim Umepremahi Nachta Lashon Yasvin Tanisa Lashon Yartun. Rabbi Nassim challenges Rebbe. Why did you not use the word Yasvin and instead use the word Yartun? El Mishum de Libcha Notar Acha Rabbi Yochanan Baroka. Rabbi Nassim was telling Rebbe, it must be because you're inclined to Rabbi Yochanan Baroka's opinion. Umishum Hachi Amrlei Yasvintran, and that's why Rebbe said, no, Yasvintran, there's no inclination here. V'hadam mischarit Rebbe ba'atzmo, and then Rebbe had charata, mishum t'chavim makshilei, amay shenisi yartun, matzi yamrlei mishum hachishan yartun, lomar delo tarfa mimishavdi. He had charata because he said, you know, I could have said that it said yartun, that the reason I use the word yartun is to tell me not to be tori from mishubadim. Fine. Hadar Amar Abaye, then Abaye went back and he said, Lav Milsi Hida Amri. That which I, my previous analysis was incorrect. So Hadar Amar Abaye, Lav Milsi Hida Amri. Ditnan, Lo Kasav La Benin Nukvan Diyahavan Lichi Minai, Yahavan Yasvan Bebesi Viyatsunun Minichsai Adati Lachin Laguvrin. Part of the what they write into the ksuba is what we call the ksubas binin nukvin also, which is that the female children of this wife, she gets guaranteed in her ksuba, will be allowed to live in the house and get support until they get married. Right, that they should continue to be supported until they get married. So even if you don't write that into the ksuba, chayiv shu tanai bezdin. So he says, now we understand. This whole idea of ksubas binin dichrin has absolutely nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan Broka. What was the vart of Rabbi Yochanan Broka? If I only use a lashon Yerusha and I say that this child should get a higher percentage than he's supposed to get, and that one should get a lower percentage of than what he's supposed to get, and I only use a lashon Yerusha, that works. Once I start using a lashon matana, then for sure it works. Even the Rabbanan would agree it works. That was yesterday's daf, where you use the Lashon of Matana together with the Lashon of Yerusha, so we assume that the Lashon of Matana, 2 days ago, that when you use the Lashon of Matana, the Lashon of Matana is going to overpower, and the Lashon of Matana will be binding. When you write the Ksubas Binin Dichrin, you don't only use the Lashon of Yerusha. you also talk about the Bnei Nukvin, the female children, and that's said in the Lashon Matana. Ah, so then it's Lazeb Yerusha, Lazeb Matana, Afil Rabban Modu. Remember, we had four shitos about two people in one field, one person in two fields, two people in two fields. One is Matana, one is Yerusha, right? And what did we paskin at the end? We paskin that even two people, two fields, one be Matana, one be Yerusha, still it's all viewed as if it's Matana. It's all okay. Right, so that's exactly what's going on over here. You're giving, promising some money to the sons, b'lashon Yerusha, some money to the daughters, b'lashon Matana. So it all has a din of b'lashon Matana. Even the Rabbanon are going to be moda. So you don't have to. You're not locked into Rabbi Yochum and broke at all. Amle Rav Nachumi v'istam Rav Chanani bar Minyumi l'Abaye. Rav Nachumi or Rav Chanani bar Minyumi says to Abaye, mimay de'bechad beidina iskun, dilma betray beidina iskun. He says, wait a second, how do you know that it's all being said together? That Ksubas bin Dichrin and Ksubas bin Nukvin was all Mesukan in the same Beis Din. And therefore you're going to say, oh, the way it was Mesukan was to put a Lashon Yerusha together with a Lashon Matana, and therefore it's binding even according to the Rabbanan. No, maybe what happened was they came up with the idea of Ksubas bin Dichrin in order to encourage guys to give money to their daughters when they go into the marriage, to give a nice dowry, right? So they came up with the idea of Ksubas bin Dichrin. And then they saw it was working really well and it was nice, and someone had the idea and said, wait a second, we're only taking care of our boys. What about taking care of our girls? What about taking care of our daughters? So, okay, so let's make a new takana. And a new Beis Din came along and was masaking the idea of Ksubas bin Nukvin. Now, what difference does it make how it played out? The difference is, when they initially established Ksubas bin Dichrin, they established a B'lashon Yerusha. Was that relying only on the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka? Or was it something that was universal? If it was established independently, it relies only on the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. If it was universal, if it was together with Ksubas bin Nukvin, then it was universal. Then it could have been even according to the Rabbanan, because then there's a Lashon Matana together with the Lashon of Yerusha. So he says, who told you it was only one Beis Din? Maybe it was in two Beis Batei Din, and therefore it's not only going like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. Says, "Well, lo salkadai toch tekatani reisha zem midrash darish Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah lefnei chacham b'kerem biyavne." This is the way Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah darshened in front of the chacham b'kerem biyavne. Habanim yirshu v'abanos yizonu. The way he darshened was explicitly that we know that the banim receive Yerusha and the daughters receive mizonos. Ma habanim in yirshin el lachem misaviem. Just like the Yerusha that's received by the banim is only after the father dies, af banos lo yizonu el lachem misaviem. So too, the daughters only receive Yerusha after, only receive mizonos after the father dies. But during the father's lifetime, we can't force him to feed the children. Like the Gemara says in Ksubas, that we can't do normal forms of kfiya. The Gemara says instead, what we do is we humiliate him publicly until we say someone gives a clap after davening and we make a big announcement. You should know, even an orev, even a raven supports its young. But this guy decided that he's not able to support his young, and we embarrass him. But that's our best recourse. He's not really required because it's only la'achar misavien. So says the Gemara. So what was this analysis? That whatever is true about the Bnei Dichrin is going to be true about the Bnei Nukvin as well. If it was all in the same Beis Din, so I can understand that you can compare one to the other, and you could say, oh, whatever the rules are by the Bnei Dichrin must also be the rules by the Bnei Nukvin. But if it was in two totally separate Batei Din, how can you learn one takana from another takana? They have nothing to do with each other. So you see that it must be that it was in one Beis Din. So, and therefore, it could even be going like the Rabbanan. So it says, No, who says that it was that the fact that they line up with each other, that the two takanos are actually in sync with each other, means that it was in one Beis Din? Maybe when Batei Din make laws, we have a concept, for instance, called the Tikkun Rabbanan Ken Doraisa Tikkun. That laws that the Rabbanan make, they don't want it to sound like it's from outer space. They want it to fit the basic system that we already have in place. So if the Rabbanan are going to come up with Bnei Nukvin years after they already came up with Bnei Dichrin, they're going to want it to follow the same pattern. They want to make it fit in as seamlessly as possible into the system we already have in place. So that's why it doesn't tell you, the fact that they follow the same rules and that we assume they must follow the same rules does not tell you that they came up in the same basin. It could be they were from different batei dinim. Another couple of lines. I'm Rav Yudom Shmuel. Hakosev kol nechasim the ishto lo asah el apetropa. If a person writes over all of his nechasim to his wife, he doesn't mean for his wife to be the owner of all the nechasim. He means her to be the caretaker, to take care of it for all the children. Pshita beno agada lo asah el apetropas. Certainly, if he writes all of his nechasim to his oldest son, obviously he's making him an apetropas. Meaning, the way the Rashbam explains this is he's trying to show kavod. He's trying to show his children, you need to be mechabed my wife. So that's why he makes his wife in charge of all of the funds. Not that she's the owner of all of them. No, he wants Yerusha to happen. She's just going to be the caretaker. She's going to be the apotropos. And that will engender kavod. When she runs she's in charge of the whole estate, that's going to engender a sense of kavod. And the same is true about Beno HaGadol, because there is a chiv min HaTorah to be mechabed Beno HaGadol, to be mechabed Achiv HaGadol. So he's trying to encourage that by making the oldest son the apotropos over everything. But Beno HaKatan Mai, what if he puts everything in the hands of Beno HaKatan? Then would you say he's trying to create a sense of kavod? There's no chiv to be mechabit b'no ha-katan. Itmar Rav Chanilai Bari di Amar Shmuel. His question, does b'no ha-katan mean the youngest or one of the younger? Depends on whether you assume the chiv to be mechabit b'no ha-gadol means the oldest or one of the older. So, we'll pick up from Itmar tomorrow. We'll leave that as a question right now. Rav Shmuel will discuss all that tomorrow.